Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have absolutely given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 15. All right, Romans chapter what? 15. Run there quickly. There will be no distraction for me. Look at Romans chapter 15 and go all the way to verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might what? Might have hope. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, what we've seen from this particular scripture is that the writings of the prophets, the writings of the scriptures, are things that we have documented so that we can what? Learn. Are we here? They are things documented so that we can learn from. So we learn from the writings of the prophets. We learn from the writings of the scriptures. Now, when Paul says the things written aforetime are written for our learning, right? What scriptures is he talking about? Genesis to what? Malachi. Is that correct? Yes, Genesis to Malachi. So Genesis to Malachi is the writing that Paul will be talking about in Romans chapter 15. That they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Now, we use that thing to look through the writings of scriptures. Romans 15 verse 4. Right? And what we saw in the scriptures is that there are several stories across the pages of the Bible. Is that correct? Right? And what are the stories to mean to us? They are to mean, or they are to be lessons learned, or they are to be lessons that we learn from the stories of the scriptures. Now, we said every story in the Bible has a lesson to learn. Every story in the Bible shows you an example of who you should become or who you shouldn't become. Right? You could look through scriptures and know the example of who you should become or who you should not become. There will be several stories across scriptures to show you. Praise God forevermore. Now, over time, we gave a definition to honor. What do you say honor is? We said, honor means to regard or to treat something or someone with what? Admiration. Are you with your writing materials? Are you writing notes? Right? Honor means what? To regard or to treat something or someone with what? With a sense of admiration, regard, or respect. That means you treat as uncommon or to treat as sacred. Right? So over the past few weeks, we've looked at different types of relationships that you need to honor. We said your parents. Is that correct? Honor your what? Parents. Yeah? There's no time where honor your parents is in the wrong. Now we're together. Your parents, your mothers, your fathers, even those who are older than you, honor them. Now we're together. Right? Yeah? People who are older than you, honor them. Right? It's godly. It's scriptural. Are we together? There are specific people who will be older than you who might not be your parents, but they deserve a sense of honor from you. Yeah? You should be a honorable person. You're somebody who is honorable. You're somebody who is, you know, looking for every opportunity to express honor. Right? In your office space, at your workplace, be honorable. Are we together? Right? For your family, for your siblings, be honorable. Are we together? For your colleagues, be what? Be honorable. For your children, be what? Be honorable. Right? There's a sense of honor that's expected that we give to people. Now, over time, we've looked at also honor amongst believers. Is that correct? Yeah? Everyone here should honor everyone here. Is that correct? Yeah? Everyone. So how you talk, how you speak, right, should depict a person, a man, a woman of honor. How you respond should depict a person of honor. How you speak, how you receive should depict a heart, a posture of honor. Right? Yeah? There's never a time where you say honor or honor is in the wrong or there's something wrong. No. Honor is something that every day of your life is something that you should be intentional about giving to others. Right? Yeah? Now, we looked through scriptures and looked at the consequences of disobedience or dishonor, so to say. Right? We looked at the story of Aaron and Miriam. Is that correct? Yeah? And we looked at how Miriam had leprosy. Is that correct? Because of what? Dishonor. And who prayed for leprosy to go? We said that was Moses. Remember that on Sunday, two Sundays ago, right? Yeah. We also looked at Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. What happened? They dishonored the man, Moses. Was Moses in the wrong? Yeah, a lot of time. One of the things that Moses needed to treat was anger management. Is that correct? Yeah? Moses needed to treat anger. So Moses needed therapy. You understand? That's the kind of person you say needs therapy. Because every small thing, boo, wah. Right? One brother was just misbehaving one day. Before you know, he just carried a knife, stabbed him, he ran away. Right? And he didn't know people were watching him. The next time he came around, I was just walking on his own. And before you know, people started running from him. Right? And you know, if he was not sensitive enough, he would have said, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah? But he knew that even himself, God said he should speak to the rock. What happened? Oga took a club and he hit the rock. Was there still a miracle? Wait, hold on. No. The people that needed the water from the rock, did they get the water? Was the man that gave them the water in disobedience? And that's how God does his work. Yeah? So, leave men that God has called to face their words, the one that called them. You're not the one that called them. Are we together? He didn't call them. So, leave them to face that. Why are you the one that... And, you know, a lot of people that judge a lot, a lot of people that... And that doesn't mean that, you know, there are certain things we will not judge and go all out for, basically. But a lot of people that judge a lot are the ones that have worse scenario. You know, I always say when I used to grow up, I say, it's the person that they caught that is a thief. Have you heard that parable before? Eh? Is the one that is caught that is a thief. So there are several thieves who are accusing the thief that they caught. But because they've not caught them, they are not yet known as thieves. Is that not what life is? Yeah? You know, I always say it again in a different way. I said, we have a generation of people, sinners, judging other sinners for sinning differently. Is that not correct? Sinners judging other sinners for sinning differently. Right? You in your privacy, right? You know, in the very few days of pastoring, I'm privileged to hear certain information from certain people. And the truth remains that when you hear certain things, your mouth will open, but you cannot afford to allow them to see your mouth open. Do you understand? Yeah, you will see somebody clearly accusing this person. Ah, you are in the wrong. How will you be? How will you be? How will you be? But if you know what they are doing, you'll be like, oh. That's why Jesus met that woman that wanted to stone to death. And he said, let he that has no sin, let him cast the first stone. What happened? I wish there was one person who did not drop their stone. Is that not true? I wish there was just one person who could say, yes, I'm at least let it even be that we confronted the person and even tried to use one another to know what the person is doing wrong. But everybody in their heart, they knew that they were doing wrong. So who are you, particularly God's vessel, to particularly say that Moses had manga issues? In fact, Moses, the bricks he wrote the law on, I mean the commandments on, what happened? You know what it is to, you had an encounter with God, right? And what you brought from your encounter, a physical thing you brought from your encounter, well, because of anger, you just scattered it. Yet Moses was God's man. He is God's man. You cannot talk about the Christian faith without mentioning the name Moses. Every other prophet, including Jesus, quoted Moses. That's the way God works. God will use men. I can always say, that does not mean that as a man now, because your name is Moses, and maybe you are Pastor Moses, you now start misbehaving. You just be talking anyhow to people, and you say, get out from there. And you say, better remember, God uses men, and I'm God's vessel. Right? You know, some people have used this thing to manipulate other people, both male to female, and female to male, and male to male, and woman to woman. All together. Right, I'm God's vessel. No, nobody should talk to me anyhow. We understand that. But you two at least have a sense of decorum. Have a sense of awareness. You know, some people I started hearing some people say from very ridiculous things now. They say, after everybody has a demon, they are fighting privately. That's what somebody called me on the phone. I was trying to confide in me on certain things that, you know, she was involved with. Or she is, not even she is involved with. You know, things you can't even say. Right? And one of the things she tried to justify her a terrible act is that after everybody has a demon, they are fighting in private. That cannot afford to be. You cannot heal if that is your mindset, because you subconsciously keep reminding yourself, this is my own demon. So even if you go for therapy and you go for people's house and you go to pastor and say, pastor, I need counseling, you cannot heal. Because anytime the thing hook you again, when they gave you a list of things to do, maybe flee, or they say run. But this is my demon. He's my demon. Lord, I know you are merciful God. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I will not do it again. That's why sometimes, how many of us grew up reminding God of what God should do to you when you do something you say you will not do again? You know, if God answers this kind of prayer, nobody will be here. Nobody will be here today. Yeah? God, if I look lustful on the woman again, Lord, cut my eyes. Lord, destroy me. I don't want to see tomorrow. All of us did it now. Is that not correct? at one point in your Christian faith, you did it. Yeah, don't do earlier than earlier. You did it. Yeah, okay. Some of us are still going to do it now. Let's say some of us are still in the past. Yeah, Lord, no. Maybe in your relationship, you are your husband, or you are your wife, right? Lord, maybe you spoke to your husband in a way you know he wasn't godly. You now start reconciling your mind and start saying, ah, Lord, dear Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Lord, sorry, I'm sorry. You now start crying. Your emotions get involved. Lord, I won't talk to the man you've placed over my life again that way in Jesus' name. Lord, anytime that maybe do it again. And you know, you've not even come down from that mountain. The next day, the person offends you again. Like you've never finished. Like the prayer has not even transcended to the heavens. It's still on the way. And some of us, you know, say, you know, because I prayed to God yesterday, what I would have done to you now. You know, and what I'm trying to say is that give people some slack. Is that correct? In the local church, let me tell you for free, there are certain things I know certain people do in the local church that I pastor, even people who are disciples. But how I treat it with different people will always differ. Yeah? How I will scold Sister Esther. First of all, not just because she's the leader in the church, she's my sister. It's not how I will even scold Brother Sam. Yeah? It's not how I will scold Sister Vim. How I will scold Brother Sam is not how I will scold Sister Vim. It's not how I will scold Sister Esther. Right? How I will scold Sister Vim is not how I will scold Brother Kwasi. Right? Which of them does not deserve scold? No. All of them together. Yeah, but you see, there will be times where you just, okay. But there will be times when you say, okay. And they will not capitalize on your okay, right? Then that is where you need to come out hard on specific people. All together, yeah? Coming out hard on people in the local church, as a pastor particularly, as a leader to people who you are privileged to lead, is something that is scriptural. It's doctrinal. Yeah, Paul will use strong words and say, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Yeah, those words are strong now. Don't you think so? Yeah, those are very strong words. You know, since I used to foolish in verse 3, right? So is there anybody in church that asks people, are you foolish? Are you foolish? No, now. It's Paul that was asking. You know, people say that if Paul withstood Peter to his face, and what did Peter do? Peter was not eating with the Gentiles, right? Because he called them what? Unclean. And Paul heard the narrative, and what happened? Paul scolded Peter. Do you know who Paul was when he was scolding Peter? Do you know where Paul was when he was scolding Peter? Do you understand? Paul was someone who was pastor of the church now at the time. Right, he had established churches all around, you know, and yet, so when he was, like I would always say, when Paul was still stoning people and taking consent to kill people, Peter had won his first 3,000 souls and put in his account, right? But the truth remains that God's hand was on Paul, right? And Paul was the one required. So the question now becomes, when people just changing it for everybody, the question now becomes, in that narrative, who are you? Are you the Peter? Are you the Paul? Do you understand? There are certain things you don't say. That's why when Miriam was talking, you know, negatively against Moses, God's response was, don't you know who you were talking to? Did you see who you were talking to? Like I said, it's godly to be scared to say certain things to certain people. It's scriptural to be scared that your heart is beating. You know, when our generation just say, oh, no. You know, let me tell you a question. Did Ananias and Sapphira, did they dishonor Peter? Acts 5. What did they do to Peter? They what? They like? Did they? Is that dishonor? Is that open dishonor? Were they saved? You know, I've heard some doctrines that say that they were not saved. My issue is not whether they are saved or not. My issue is what did you learn from the story? You know, if it was only Ananias that died, you'd have said a mistake. But husband and wife in 10 hours. That's the consequence now, right? But do you also agree that they were saved? Why do you think they were saved? For them to sell their property, to want to give to the church, it means they were involved in the church activities. So they were in the church meeting to know that the church needed things. I would assume they were saved. So if they were saved, because they lied, were they unsaved? No. You don't lose your salvation because you lied. Is that correct? But are there consequences on the earth because you lied? Yes, now. Yeah? If you lie and there's still camera down, you know some people, they lie so beautifully and there are evidences. Right? You know, in Nigeria, if you take someone to police station, what they usually say is, say the truth and the truth shall set you free. Ah, that's figure of speech, oh. That's figure of speech, oh. They say, who stole these goods? Or they say, who stole this $1 million? And I tell you, say the truth and the truth will set you free. And what you think from there is when I confess, it's me. Okay, you catch me. Then I say, okay, yeah, I can go home. And that's not true. Right? So when you now look through all the repercussions but eventually, when you say the truth, or even if you lie. In fact, you know, sometimes it upsets people that you first lied before you said the truth.
right? What will happen? There will be consequences of it, right? If you misbehave, if you are driving recklessly, for instance, you drive and you just hit somebody who was walking on the road and the person just hit the floor, hit their body on the floor. You know, there's some, that's why life, you have to be careful. There are people who are already waiting to die. Do you understand? And they can put themselves in front of your car. Yeah? So they will just call it manslaughter. Is that not correct? Yeah? Eventually, if the government comes into that conversation, who goes to prison? The person who drives the car or drove the car will go to prison if the conversation. But what I'm trying to say is that that's the consequences of your action. So in life, oh, there are consequences for actions. Are you here? Write that in your notes. In life, there are consequences of actions. In life, there are consequences of actions. One of the stories we didn't look at is Elisha and his PA, Gehazi. Is that correct? I think we looked at him just in passing, but one of the things you saw was, no, we didn't look at this particular story. There was a story of Elijah, right, who, someone gave him a gift. Is that, I think I spoke about it. Someone gave him a gift, and he rejected it. And what happened? His disciple went behind to go and what? To go and collect. Is that dishonor? Eh? Eh? Is dishonor now? No, now, he knew that the master rejected it. And he went behind the master. And he went to collect it. You understand? Right? And what happened? And the master found out. And what happened? And he got leprous. Is that correct? Yeah? All right? It's in your Bible. These stories, am I 4 minutes? It's there now. You know I'm not 4 minutes now. Yeah. So if I tell you that it happened to somebody in 2024, why are you doubting it? Do you understand? You're saying it happened to people in 24. Why are you doubting it? It's a reality. It's something that has happened in scripture. It can happen again. Genesis, I give an example of a man who by word of knowledge would identify people by their sicknesses. And a group of three brothers or three friends came around to the church. They wanted to test him. That, oh, we want to know if your anointing is fake. And they came and lied and they said they had cancer. Is that not correct? And what happened right on the spot? History has it. I was in the meeting. I went together. The same way I was not with Abiram. Yeah? But they told us. Yeah, history has it that what happened? Yeah, that what? Immediately it was recorded that they had cancer on the spot. Right? So dishonor is costly. I beg you, dear saints, it's costly. Now, we start looking at something before I traveled. Honor and giving materially. Right? Honor and giving materially. Now, we looked at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 to 19, where the popular scripture says, I can do what? All things through Christ. Scripture is that people just take it out of context to say they can do everything on earth. But the truth is that even when Paul says, my God shall what? Supply. My God shall what? Supply all your needs according to what? His riches in glory. By what? By Christ Jesus. Does God meet needs? Does God supply needs? Right? Do we experience miraculous financial help? Oh yes, we do. Are we together? We do. I've seen it evidently in my life. I've seen it evidently in the life of my prayer. I've seen it evidently, you know, all around. I can keep giving stories and stories and examples and stories and stories and stories upon stories. We've seen supernatural help. I remember, can I forget one of the stories my dad usually shared about my sister's school when she was going to school. He didn't have the school fees, right? But by faith, he went to the school, right? And drove all the way from Abuja to the school in Ekiti, right? And as soon as he got into the school, less than a few minutes of getting into the school compound, he got an alert of the school fees that he needed without telling anybody. That's supernatural help. Is that not correct? That's supernatural help. It can happen, right? He got an alert of the school fees and even extra pocket money for her to have, right? What he needed for his daughter. That's supernatural help. I can keep talking and talking and listening. We've had several examples of time. There's a day we're having a 3 days prayer fast. Is that correct? Yeah, 3 days prayer fast. And we're supposed to switch off our phones, right? And for some reason, my dad's phone rang out. We were all together in our living room. Remember that meeting? My dad's phone rang out. He's the one that gave us instruction, put up your phone. His phone rang out. How it rang out, we don't know. But guess what? We got a call. Yeah, a commander, a police leader, whatever. What do you call them? Police whatever. Policeman. Stay there. Yeah? Yeah? And called and he said, am I speaking to Pastor Amos Yusuf? Blah, 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 blah. There's a car that they're delivering to your house right now. Are you aware about it? We're not aware about anything. Yeah, this was 2012 or thereabout. Someone bought a brand new Prado Land Cruiser, 22 of that year model, put it on a truck from Lagos and drove it all the way to Abuja. We're just praying. Is that not supernatural? Ah, that's supernatural. You know, too. My dad, that man, My dad had an encounter. Somebody gave him a car, a Peugeot 406 in 2008 or 2009, and asked him to pay 50 naira for a car that worth millions of naira. I know what happened. She gave him the 50 naira to pay her and called the law. Is that not supernatural? Some people think because I say some kind of thing, I've not seen things. You want to sell a car that is worth millions, right? You say, I want to give it to you as a gift, but so that we can have a legal agreement, pay me 50 naira. Okay, take the 50 naira. Now, I'm not talking about 1980. 50 naira was, say, 50 naira could not buy you a car. I'm talking about 2010. There's nowhere you were 2010. Dollar was 100, so $1 was 100. So imagine how much you would buy a car then, right? And gave him a Peugeot 406 at the time. So I have seen evidently supernatural provision. You get the point, right? But the truth remains that, when it comes to what the work of Jesus is about, what the work of Savior is about, is about that which is the forgiveness of sins that man receives. Are we together? I wish supernatural help in healing. Yes. I've seen people who have been programmed for surgeries that should take thousands of pounds into sometimes hundreds of thousands, and they just get healed by God's power. That's supernatural help. That's supernatural. Yeah, we can believe and receive that as believers. When it comes to, specific fundamental things, right, like understanding what the Christian faith is about, you must understand where to draw the line, draw the bias, right? The forgiveness of sins is that which Jesus died for. Right, so start looking at how when it says that God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Right, the needs there, the real thing, we speak about how God will meet materially the needs of people. Now, one of the things you see is that the people Paul was praying for, they gave to him what? Materially. Right, we saw Luke 8:2. Luke 8:2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And so Mary Magdalene was possessed before. Is that what he's saying? Is that what the Bible is saying? Okay. And Joan, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their words. Substance, that means they gave materially. Paul says in Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:6. Are you there? Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:6. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read. 1, 2, 3, go. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Are we together? Who is he that is taught in the word? The believers, right? Who is he that is to be communicated to? The minister of the message of the gospel. So, if you look through scriptures, you look at 2 Corinthians again. We saw that before 2 Sundays ago. 2 Corinthians. Look through 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you there? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 5. For I suppose I was not a whit behind to the very chiefest apostle, verse 6. 11 verse 6. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, that means I took from other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Right? And for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being bothersome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Verse 10 says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of the boasting of the region of Asia. Wherefore, because I love God not, God knoweth. Verse 12 says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein that the glory, they may be found even as we. So what is Paul teaching here? Paul is correcting the church in Corinth for their conduct in how they treated him. That means Paul ministered to them, yet they didn't think it necessary to give to Paul materially. Are we together? When you have a minister who labors over your life, when you have a pastor who labors over your life, it is scriptural to give materially to them. Are we together? It is scriptural to give materially to them. Now, look at it carefully. Where the problem is a lot of times as pastors, we now demand certain things that are above, in quote, the pay grade of people who we are pastoring. Are we together? Or we forcefully make them give us certain things. Just like I wake up tomorrow and I say, Kai, I feel like I want to change my phone. All together, right? Yeah. And I now put a sense of pressure on you, right? If you find out through scriptures, what Bible teaches about giving to your ministers is fundamentally to solve their needs. Are we together? So if the pastor doesn't have a house to sleep, what do you do for the pastor? You look for a house to sleep. Now, should a house be befitting? Yes, should it be? It should be. But let's assume you can't afford to make it befitting. What is fundamental for you? A house where he can sleep or she can sleep, right, to rest their head. Yeah? So Paul corrects them and says they walked in dishonor towards him. That means he was sad by the fact that the examples they showed, right, in not ministering to him materially was out of place. So we honor our pastors, we honor our leaders, we give our leaders gifts materially, right? So to the believer, honor is non-negotiable. Say honor. Say honor is non-negotiable. So honor is not negotiable. It's fundamental in how we receive from the men that God has chosen for us. Write that in your notes. Honor is fundamental, right, for how we receive, in how we receive from the men that God has chosen for us. Right? Honor is fundamental in how we receive from the men that God has chosen for us. Very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Honor is fundamental in how we receive. You know, I gave that quick example of what people call seed sowing, right? Seed sowing, fundamentally in Bible reading, when you look at the word seed across scripture, it's used fundamentally for several things except money, right? Either for agriculture or either for the word of God, right? Yeah, but in our world, we've now learned the practice of seed sowing. And what is seed sowing really? A lot of times when people want to achieve certain things, they take an amount from what they have in their pockets. Is that correct? Yeah, and they go and give it to a man of God, right? In giving to a man of God, is that scripture? Is that scripture? Is that honor? Yeah, but you see, a lot of times what they are doing is that they are trying to buy their way with their gifts. Yeah, are we together? That's why scripture will talk about, you know, how Peter will be ministering the things of God. Is that correct? Are we here? Yes, Peter will minister the things of God, and what will happen? There will be a brother. What's his name? Simon the sorcerer. Yeah, and he will say what? He took a money to Peter and he said, can I have this gift that you have? What did Peter say? Your money perishes with you. Let me ask a question. If Simon, right, took that money to him and he just said, I see something in you and I want to give you a gift. Is that different? Yes, from, I want what you have, so take this amount. Are we together? You see the very thin line. Peter cannot say he didn't collect gift from anybody. Is that correct? Okay. But the truth is that how you are trying to collect almost makes you look like a merchandise. You are buying and selling. And Peter says your money perishes with you. Right? So if you look properly through scriptures, you realize that when you look at the practice of honor and giving men of God or giving things to men, right, you can eventually shield your heart in the right way. Right? Shield your heart in the right way. So, I gave an example of a conversation I had with my friend, right? And, you know, he was asking the question, but how come a lot of people who do this seed sowing thing and, you know, words are spoken over them, things seem to happen that way? And I said, it's not as much about the gift of what was given. Even though the gift that is given can open up the heart of a man that wants to pray. You don't agree? Wait now, see. If you give a pastor, no, let's say me, if you give me $1 million, do you think I will pray? What do you want to hear? Do you think, okay, do you know what we can do? Let's try it so you see how I'll pray. Let's try it now. Eh? So I can see, I need 10 of you to give $100,000. Come on, line up. You know what they are doing and what they are giving. That's why you don't blame pastors sometimes. I'm not saying it's right. Who will say, if you have $1,000, come out. People like it. They want it. They will do it as if they are hungry. They lie.
It's a lie. It's a lie. Eh? People want them to know at least they are giving $1,000. More often than not, you eat and you are eating well. Yeah? I need 10 people to give $10,000 here. Right? See them coming out like this. But if you ask them, I need you to put it in the envelope, in the basket they are sending across you. When you count everything, it's not up to 1,000. All of them together. That would have given $10,000 in 10 places. What you are doing, you are allowing your left hand to see. It's just like when you give your pastor gift, you now bring camera and video it. Do you understand what I say? Yeah? You give your pastor a gift, you now go on Instagram. Thank God for the privilege to give to God's man. People do it now. You've not seen it. I thank God I'm part of the few privileged to be able to afford to give. If you know my story, you will know the glory. Right? People just like to know, to show off. It's the show off mentality that is still in our lives today. Right? Meanwhile, scripture says when you do something, what your left hand does, your right hand should know. You know you can give and be a quiet giver. And nobody knows you. You know you can be that way. Right? You can be that way. Right? Such that, you know, you give certain amount to the local church or to your pastor or to some, or just as a gift. You just say, please don't let everybody know it's me. But some people, if pastor does not come and say, praise the Lord, I want to thank God for the life of Sister Vim. Sister Vim has been so committed to the work of ministry. In fact, she gave one boom last week. And Sister Vim will now be there and see she's shy. She said, no, pastor, stop telling them. She'll be watching, see my face, so it's me, oh. Right? So what I'm saying is that it's scriptural to give. It's doctrinal. In fact, to not give to those who labor over you is to be in dishonor. Are we here? Yeah, it's a shade of dishonor. Right? And mind you, what am I saying? Everybody has what to give. Everybody has what to give. It's you that are waiting to buy Rolls Royce before you give. And you know something? If you cannot give, have you not found that? Let me tell you for free. If you are here, right? I don't believe we have people that are here. That your hand is like this. You know, if you cannot give 10% when you are earning £20,000, yeah? If you cannot give 10% when you are earning £20,000 in a year, I'm saying your giving deliberately to your local church, for instance, is 10% is £2,000 in a year. It will be very difficult for you to give 10% when it's £200,000. Because the more you have more money in your account, there are more things to be done with money. Let's assume there are no more things. Then you have the saving culture. Is then you know that saving is a thing. The same way, if you cannot save, if you don't have the savings, you cannot save when you are earning £20,000. You cannot save when it's £2 million. It will finish. You will not save. Yeah? You know, I'm not talking about, you know, some people, I was talking to some people recently. They say, pastor, all the savings we saved last year has come to save us. It's reality. But I'm saying there's a discipline behind it. Yeah? How can you be earning money? And when they've not taught you the truth of God's word, you will get £100,000, for instance, in a year. And you will, without anybody preaching to you, because they've used the order to chase you, you will take out £10,000 of a year and say, this is my tithe. I watch my treasures go. But now, when they've taught you that Jesus is alive, your 10%, you split into 4.5. You say, 0.8. You know, you're calculating. 0.8 is for orphanage. 0.273 is for motherless. Right? Then I'll just give. No. That's stinginess. That means stinginess was already in your heart from time. It just took a message you did not want to hear or you not listen to well to bring out your identity. Don't say who alone. Act on what I'm saying. Are we together? And don't just say who. How can you be serving God, be jumping, be dancing, everything? And as you are dancing and celebrating in God, your salaries, your income is increasing. But your giving is reducing. That's not the work of God. That's not the work of the Spirit. That's the work of the flesh. Let me say it clearly. It's the work of the devil. Are you here? It's the work of the devil. How can you be, and you come and you will dance and you will celebrate and you glory, you will even laugh more than the person that is generating the laughter of the Holy Ghost. Right? And you are just so stingy. No. You know, finance is one of the places back to me. I was like, that thing you said, it sounded normal, but he just changed a lot about him. If you cannot let go, it will be difficult to have a hold. Are we together? Yeah? Some of us are stingy, even not just to ourselves.
were stingy to even the poor. Are we here? Yeah, we're going to look at that, you know, shortly. We're stingy to ourselves. We're stingy to the poor. We're stingy to our family. You know, there are days and there are times when you should ensure you give yourself a check. Are you getting stingier when you hear the word? Altogether, are you getting stingier when you get the word? So when you look through properly through scriptures, the truth is that that's what scripture says, more blessed to what? Is more blessed to what? Is more blessed to give than to receive. Altogether, is more blessed to give. And some of us are saving money for next of kin. Next of kin that will squander it in one city. You are saving money, my next. Your children will just go and just buy one thing. All your life saving, everything is gone. I'm not saying don't save. You should save. Right? But I'm not focusing on saving. This is not an entrepreneurship class. It's the giving part that is our question in this local church. Same thing with Nigerian church. Yeah, you should be able to. Don't let us wind you like Lister Jane. All together, when you have £2,000 every month, what is 10% of that? Calculator. Okay? When you have £2,000, what is it? 200. Don't just calculate and not act. Are we together? Yeah? I'm not talking to you. But if it ministers to you, bless your heart. Yeah? Don't just calculate and don't act. Are we together? Are we together? Some of us, we just allow the devil to have the best of us. We know how to reduce. I'm saying, if you cannot give £200, you cannot give £200 to God. £200. Yeah, and I say, God, I need 20 million. Where's the 20 million, Lord? Wait, what is 10% of 20 million? No.
20%.
Okay, 400,000. No. What is 10%? Sorry. 200. What is 10% of 2 million? Remove one zero now. Abi? Right? That is 2 million. Of 20 million. What is 20%? What is 10%? Why are we doing better math? Hold on. What is 10% of 20 million? 200,000. Ah, no, wait, hold on. 20 million, remove one zero, is 2 million now. Just remove the zero after the 20, I'll leave the remaining six zeros. For the mathematics, yeah? Yeah? So it's 2 million, right? So if you're waiting for £20 million, what is your tithe of £20 million? Do you know what it is to take 2 million and give to a church? You that could not give 200. Lord, if you bless me, I'll bless your work. If you bless me, I'll bless you. It's a lie. Eh? It's a lie. Yeah? That's why, you know, the devil knows who, if money gets to their hands, they will pump the gospel. You think the devil does not know you? There's some problem with us. The devil rejoices over us. The devil rejoices. He just sits and says, glory! Yeah? Because he knows you are stingy. The devil will just look at you and say, oh, glory to God. Because he knows you are stingy. I was watching a video yesterday, and the man was talking about how he has been consistently giving 10%, you know, of giving over time over the years, right? And he said the time he gave one heavy tithe, wanted to negotiate with God, he still gave it. I'm trying to say, it's not easier when you have more money to give. I hope you are with me. It's not easier, oh. It's more difficult. Because look at £2 million. You know, you buy 5 houses down. He now say, I'll use the rent to help God. I'll just, when I buy the houses, I'll just take one house and be giving the rent. It's a lie. When the money starts coming, 115 every month, you will know, and those people in Kenya. Yeah? £2 million is heavy to give. That's why that's the negotiation with God. And God, you know, after this 20 million, you know, it's not everything that is my profit. Who are you deceiving? Yeah, so learn that practice. When no matter what you, I'm saying, if you are earning £1,000, don't let £100 be too heavy for you. You will not be able to give £100,000. Is the truth? Why? Because giving is more of a mindset than what you have. It's a consciousness, a conscience, is a mindset than what you have. Are we together? Right? Look at Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care of his oxen? It says, or said he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written. So Paul is saying, when the Bible says, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn, that was not teaching about animal husbandry. That was teaching about the ministers of the gospel. That's what Paul is saying. It was written for our sake. It says, this is written that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that treasures should hope, in hope should be partakers of his hope. Verse 11. It says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is that your pastor talking? Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. If others be partakers of this power over you, and I will not rather, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel. So Paul is saying, I've not said I will not do ministry to you because you're not giving me gifts. But the Bible teaches, do not what? Muzzle the mouth of the ox that what? Treadeth out the corn. Look at verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live all the things of what? The temple. And they which wait at the altar are what? Partakers of the altar. Are you here? Yeah. Verse 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Even so, are we here? 1 Corinthians 9, 14. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Even so, as the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live gospel. So it is a command to the recipient of ministry to give to the one that ministers to you. I'll say it one more time. It's a command in scripture to the recipient of ministry to give to the one that ministers. So Paul is making a case for ministers and equating them to Levites, teaching from the writings of Moses. So Paul is teaching the Corinthians that as members of a local church, we are obligated to support the lives of the ministers of the gospel. So you're in local church, for instance, and you see your pastor is wearing only one shoe because he has only one shoe. What is Paul saying? Right? There's nothing wrong in you coming together to say, oh, want to give pastor a shoe. Now, when you give pastor a shoe and pastor begins to say, is it what your mates are giving their pastor? That's problem. Are we together? Yeah? So if you go to Primark and you buy a shoe for pastor, and pastor say, your mates are giving their pastor. Give me 1 minute of shoe. Russell and Brussels. Clarks. Huh? Pamcanel. Chanel. So, Tottenham, you want to buy something for your husband, Flannel, do the company name. And also for your pastor. Don't remove that one too. Eh? So, you get the point. Yeah? So, if you buy Primark or Primark for your pastor, and pastor, for my pastor, she's the brown bag, blueprint. You say, no, that cannot be for me. That cannot be for me. Yeah? He now says, is that what? What I'm saying to you is what happens, though. Where pastor will say, did you see what that church gave their pastor? I heard one recently. He said, did you see this church came and gathered and bought this for their pastor? You know, at that point, you just want to, you know, but you must walk in honor too. I mean, together. Let that be his own demon that is fighting. Let that be what is God. Let it just be his own demon. His own demon is covetousness. So, if the pastor wants to wear flannel or flannel, right? What should he do? He should go walk. Are we together? Gather money. Then take from his money and go and buy his shoe. Are we together? You don't say, can't you see what your mates are doing? No, it's wrong. But you must ensure that that shame is not evident on the life of your pastor. Are we together? Yeah? Imagine your pastor has a smell. I'm talking about a bad smell. And once he walks into the auditorium like this, everybody is, it's not hard. Yeah. In fact, on that kind of matter, you don't need to call people to buy to say, have you noticed something happens where pastor walks in? Have you noticed that there's an aura? No, you can decide to, is your pastor not correct? Yes. You can decide to go and take money and go and buy something and just wrap it as a gift. Yeah. That's right. You know, some people, if you write a note, some people, if you buy perfume for them as gifts, you are saying a lot. And I thought there was one boy in our class in GS1. Kai, I don't want to mention his name, but I know he'll be doing well somewhere in life now. This brother, once he comes into school like this, the whole class, not school, not class, so once he comes to the school, we start knowing from the gate. One day, because I used to have a spray, and there's a spray I used to have in my bag, Brutes. One day, our other classmates went to go and collect the spray from my bag and just went to go and start spraying around where he was sitting. Hey, I felt so bad for him. You imagine that kind of person, you want to give him birthday gift and say, you are intentional. But you know, you can give somebody birthday gift for perfume. You know, this person is always smelling good. I think he likes perfume. Let's give it to him. All together, right? But the pastor is not going to say, is he brute? You are buying for me. Your mates are buying Penalegon. Your mates are buying Sauvage. Yeah. So it's something that the minister must know, right? So Paul is saying that he's instructed for you. Look at verse 14. Let's do a little study on verse 14. The word they ordained in verse 14 is the Greek word diatazo. Diatazo. D-I-A-T-A-S-S-O. Diatazo. Right? That's the word they ordained. Diatazo. And it's a word that means to appoint, a word that means to prescribe, or is a word that means to give order. I'll say it again. Diatasso. D-I-A-T-A-S-S-O. It means to appoint, it means to prescribe, it means to give order, or it means to authorize. Diatasso. That's what ordained. So even so as the Lord authorized, is that correct? Even though as the Lord ordained, we can say even though as the Lord appointed. Can we say, even though as the Lord prescribed? Can we say, even though as the Lord given an order? So God has authorized that the minister of the gospel should live off the gospel. The problem we have with all ministers of the gospel when we read the scripture is that we are saying that the Bible is saying the church should flaunt our flamboyant mindset. No! That's wrong! If you want to live flamboyantly, how do you live flamboyantly? Go work. Go earn a living. Go have a salary. Go have an income. Go do a business. Legitimate, legal. So, does the Bible ordain that the minister should live off the gospel? Yes. What will be covered in living off the gospel fundamentally? The needs of the ones. You got it already. The needs of the minister. All together. The needs of the minister. The fundamental needs of the minister. Very, very, very important. So, it's a biblical instruction to give to ministers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let me show you an example of a poor church. Can a church be poor? Can a church be poor? Can a church be rich? Yes, now. Who determines the poverty or the richness of the church? It's the people. Are we together? It's the people. Do you understand the point? Yeah? If you are working in an organization, if you're in a church, for instance, where the people that are there, that's why it's on pastors, they say, you know, God has sent them to the top class people in the environment. Yeah? If you are in a church where everybody that goes to the church is CEO, what do you expect when they are gifting the church? A CEO kind of gift now. Is that not, that's if they're not stingy. Right? If you are in a church where everybody are students, what do you expect? Student's gift. You can't be pastoring students and be eyeing people that are doing CEO. No. Where did we come from? And so people just know how to stretch people for unnecessary reasons. You not gather money to say you want to help people in Morocco that are doing missions. You say you want to change the edifice of the altar. You want to buy a leather screen. You know, want also put LED screen so pastor can be stepping on LED screen. And you are talking to students. You are misplacing your priority. People who use LED screen, a lot of them, do you know when they started doing ministry? Your parents had not met your parents. Do you understand? They've not met. Your parents had not met before they started doing ministry. They are 30 years down in ministry, 40 years now in ministry. You want to use your 4 months. 4 months. They just baptized you last 2 weeks. So 4 months of ministry. And you want to say, you know, it's excellence. No. How together? No. Praise God forevermore. So the truth remains that no matter how rich you are, don't be stingy. No matter how poor you are, don't be stingy. You know, a lot of times when money comes to people's life, it just amplifies how stingy they are. You know, stinginess is not just a thing that is found, you know, because people have money or there's a quantity of money or not. It's a mindset. Look at Paul. Look at Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's read it together. Are we there? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. 1 to 3, go. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So what is Paul teaching? Grace of God. On what? The churches of Macedonia. Let me ask you a question. If you see an average pastor in our world teach about grace of God in a church, what are you saying? Material prosperity. You can't join this church and remain poor. If you join this church and you remain poor, there's something wrong you are doing. Is anybody that you will not see something wrong you are doing? Yeah? If you join this church, there's an oil that works on this church for prosperity. And why are you lying? It's not good to lie. Is that correct? Yeah? You see, the grace of God makes rich and makes rich. How do they say it again? And the riches of, how do you say it? The gifts. Anyhow, you want to say it. Right? You, the blessings of God, the blessing is the blessing. The blessing of God make it rich. It's that, she's the experience in those words. So every time we say, sister, Jesus is going to open church, we need to follow somebody to accompany her. So that, right? So he says, if you want to know God is here, how do you know God is here? First testimony, praise the Lord. You see, I was just walking and I just saw a check of £150,000 on the floor. I just picked it and I heard the Spirit say, it's for you, you. And I looked around everywhere. So I saw U-turn. I picked the U in the U-turn and the U was for me. And I say, it's for you. Eventually, a person now says, if you are here in this commission and you've been here for 10 years and you can't see this kind of miracles in your life, there's something you're not doing. Maybe you don't honor the oil. Let me tell you, everybody can honor better. So if they say you don't honor the oil, you will find that you really don't honor the oil. You get the point? Yeah? So, Paul is saying that I wish you to behold with the grace of God that is bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Look at what it says in verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, can a Christian go through affliction? Are we here? Can a Christian go through affliction? Can Christians go through affliction? Can a church be known as a church that is afflicted? Yes, now. Look at it now. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their what? Their deep poverty. The word there, deep, is the word that means something that is extinct, that is extreme. So deep there does not mean figurative for plenteous. No. Deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their what? Liberality. So were they rich? Were they rich? Were they poor? Yes. Were they rich? They were poor. They were rich. But God does not measure riches by what you have, but by what you give. They abounded to the riches of liberality. So when somebody says, for instance, that you know God does not associate with poor people, then there's a problem. Are we together? Yeah? Then there's a serious problem with that doctrine. Are we together? Because if you look through scriptures, let me ask you a question. If Jesus had the money to feed 5,000 people, did he need a miracle? Does Jesus, if you know there's a way you'll be among 5,000 people, you know how someone was this? How many of them are on that table? Give them four bottles. Right? If Jesus had the money to take care of 3,000-5,000 people, no need for miracle. They will not be looking for who has 12 loaves of bread. Are we here? That's Jesus, the Lord and Savior. They'll say, no, he became poor. The question is, how did Jesus become poor? He did not become poor. Do you see a scripture where Jesus was doing giveaway? Auction. This TV is going. And when he now finished, he said he became poor. So he might become rich. So I heard somebody say, it is in the auctioning that he gave out that people became rich. For they took of his property. Are you not? Where in scripture? Even when Jesus wanted to enter into a city, he had to use word of knowledge to identify someone that has a car. He said, go to that place and tell them the master wants to use the car. If he had entourage and he had everything needed, will he need to do that? He would now. Everything about the life of Jesus shows that he was materially poor. Are we here? Yeah, he was a carpenter. You can see the record of Jesus hitting nail. Let's assume he was wealthy through carpentry business. He's supposed to have boys. Is that not correct? But his father was carpenter, he was carpenter. So was Jesus rich materially? No, he was no record of that. You don't have you have disciples, for instance, Joseph of Arimathea, right? Yeah, we have people who were rich that served Jesus. But if you look consistently, right? You don't have a record of everybody, most people rich. No. So how does God measure riches? How well you're able to give. How does the world measure riches? How much you can save. So you see, as a believer, you need to have the balance. Did anybody say you should not save? No. You should save. And you should give. The problem is some of us who were supposed to give were adding into the savings. But the savings pot not catch fire. What you are supposed to give, you are adding, you say, no, I just want to throw for rainy day. No matter what you have, you can give. It says they were in deep poverty. Yes, they abounded. Look at verse 3, 4, 2. Their power, I bear record here and beyond. Their power, they were willing of themselves. So the Paul cajoled them to give. The Paul forced them to give. No. Listen carefully. When scriptures were talking about giving in Corinthians, who is Paul talking to in Corinthians? The church of Corinth. Which church is he using as an example? Were the Macedonians rich? They were poor. So what example is Paul using the Macedonian church to teach the Corinthians? The riches, the grace of God. So riches. So Paul uses a poor church to teach, Corinthians were better off materially, financially. So he uses a poor church to teach them the grace of God, the riches of God. So true riches. Look at verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, is that your Bible? Though he was rich, what happened? Yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich. Let's stop talking plenty English, right? The poverty is nothing material. Are we together? The poverty is nothing material. Are we together? So when Jesus became poor so he might be rich, what is that teaching? Expression of the grace of God. Look at it. Jesus became poor so that you might be rich. That means he's giving something. In giving something, that's riches of what? Liberality. Are we together? Right? Then what happened? When you give, what do you have? You are less now. You have 100,000. I give 1,000. What do you have? 99,000. Is that correct? Yeah? So the Christian faith does not teach when you give God 10%, he multiplies it by 200. No. That is CBX. CBX. You know CBX? You know CBX? Anybody that is still falling for CBX in this world, they will still catch you in front. Yeah? How can somebody promise you 100%? Even the Spirit of God. Even the Spirit of God will not promise you 100% return in investment. Right? Yeah? Oh, they have office. I'm in your office. You know what? I'm in your office. You don't know how many offices we've seen. I stepped into one office like that in Abuja. CBX Junior. I've never seen a bank that fine. No bank was that fine. Everywhere. Light screen, everything. Every big screen. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Shout out to give you the form. Shout out to you, sir. Shout out to transfer. Eh? See, they've been around for 4 years. Don't you know you are the bad egg? Now, when you join, it will crash. Have you not seen the consistency over time? Praise God. Right? You know, someone reached out to me about it. I was asking me, oh, Pastor, what's the thought about this thing? I said, show me the scheme. I said, this thing is about to crash. God helped him. They removed their money. Right? So, when I was there in Nigeria, this last trip, someone was now telling me that, people are crying, people are wailing all over the internet. Oh. And I said, oh, this name, I've heard it somewhere. And I called Michelle the president. I said, is this what you were talking about? He said, yes, oh, Pastor, I removed my money. I said, God bless you. Yeah? So, what we are looking for is that mindset. You know, an average person is greedy. Yes. Wait, you have $60,000 in your pocket. Mm. You can't look for what to use that you'll be seeing it to increase. Is they say crypto, back end, and they will give you login. You will now log in, and you'll be looking at your money. You say, oh, it's increasing. Glory to God. You know, it was first MMM. MMM was trendy for those of us in Nigeria. I never did MMM. You know, I even knew about it towards the end. And I said, no, this is not my thing. You know, but what you start seeing then like that, that's the mindset people put into the scripture. And you know the unfortunate thing? The day you invest. No. It's the day you start calculating the returns and start looking for what you will buy. Once the money come like this, I'll change my car, I'll change my phone. I'll send money to my mind in the village. I'll sponsor 5 people to school. Right? God help you if not started sponsoring them or promise them before they didn't crash. Right? But I'm saying that's the mindset people take into the gospel, such that they believe that when you give God one, he multiplies it to become 100. Are we together? Right? Can people experience multiplication in their finances? Oh, yes, now. Does it happen every day? The problem is, don't know the days will not happen. Is that not correct? Think about it now. I always tell you, if that is how multiplication happens, all you need is nobody should be poor. £1,000. Sow it into a seed, it becomes 10,000. What do you do? Remove initial capital. Then what do you do? Throw the remaining 9. Yeah? Don't spend it. Just throw me in there. What happens? Come 100. Don't forget, you've not lost your 1,000. Yeah? Your initial capital, I see there, your capex. Then now, so start doing opex. People of God, open your eyes. When it comes to material prosperity, there's a way that is normal. That you know, do you understand that even I know, see, you know, people will just be sat there and say, if you want to learn how to be rich, go and read the rich man in Babylon. Go and reach up. Go and read this now. Go and read it. You know you're in Babylon. You know that you are far from Babylon. You say, five books that changed my orientation. You will read it, finish it. You will even take notes. You will read it, say, you take. I'm saying, what part am I saying this? I'm saying, even people that are doing business right, not everybody ends up being prosperous. One law in one country that you're not even in can change what you have. One news from the US can change what you have that is millions. That's how the world works. So learn it and learn it quickly. Right? So disabuse your mind from that transactional giving that we have, particularly as Christians. So why should you give if it's taught in scriptures? That should be enough for you. Right? Why should he give? So Jesus, Peter will say that, Paul will say that he was rich. He was rich. Yes, for our sakes he became poor. That we through his poverty might become rich. What is it? It's simple. Right? Supernaturally, he had the wealth of supernatural influence, supernatural wealth for research, you say. And what happens? Get himself to be subjected to humanity. Get himself to be ridiculed on the cross. Is that not something you can say is poor? Somebody who is the builder of the world? As riches become poor. So that what happened? You can live and have eternal life. Are we together? So was he rich so that and he became poor for your sake? Yes. So are you rich because he became poor? Yes. Yes. The question is what riches? Yeah, he has deposited the riches of liberality in you. That's the grace of God. Oh yeah, that's the grace of God. So Paul says, this is the grace of God that was bestowed on the churches. How that in their deep poverty, they are bounded to the riches of liberality. So don't be a stingy person. Say, I'm not stingy.
I'm not stingy.
Right? What we teach is things like this. Yeah? You go back to your house, go back to your drawing board. Some of you, you have a table, you have an Excel sheet where you do your expenditure. And you, with your boldness and confidence, you put church 1%. That account is supposed to catch fire. And you go back there and visit it. In fact, when you visit it the other time, you say 0.8 this time. No, God should be able to understand. The truth is that the more you keep going in life, let's assume that's what happens, and your financial stability begins to come clear, you will not be able to, because that stinginess is now a thing of the heart. All together. So what is Paul teaching? That what? You must ensure that you have that heart. Now, on Wednesday, we're going to look at certain things. We're going to look through scriptures to see, particularly in the epistles, because people like to fight these things. You know, when you go back into the writings of Moses, the instruction for the Levites not to walk, was it scriptural? Yes. Why were they not to walk? So that they can do the work of what? The temple. Is that correct? And every other 11 tribes will give what? 10% and bring together to the Levites to take care of their needs. Right? What is that? A practice of honor, a practice of giving. Is it sustained in the New Testament writings? Yes, but there's a much more to it. We're going to see it in scriptures, that there is a teaching in scriptures that shows that those who are pastors and leaders should be worthy examples in walking. Such that Paul will say, I have robbed none of you. I have labored with my hands. Do you understand? You know, you can see a pastor, and when you see the kind of lifestyle he lives, you are rest assured that he's not feeding off church. Are we together? You can see a pastor and you are rest assured and say, this cannot be feeding off church. I remember there was a man who came to, you know, the building in Area 1 in Abuja Church, right? You know, and when he came and looked at the kind of work and the amount of millions then that had gone into that work, he just said openly to the person that and said, Kai, this cannot be church money. Yeah? This cannot be church money. And we choose, he couldn't have been. You know, so if there's a kind of lifestyle I want to live, who doesn't like good lifestyle? Everybody. Is anybody here, you don't like good lifestyle? You just like suffering? You just feel like you're called into the ministry of suffering? You just like to labor? Somebody gives you a kind of saying, no, I prefer to work because our fathers were working. and that's why they live for long. Do you see that? I just prefer to jump and hop from bus to bus to bus to bus, then tread 20 minutes in my bus stop, then catch the next train. You prefer that one? Everybody wants a better life. There is a structural way to get a better life. In your structural way to get a better life, believe in God. Is that correct? Trust in God. Are we together? Believe in God. Trust in God. Trust in His supernatural help. But the truth is that they are is what it is. And they've been Christian. In fact, their fathers were pastors. So they are offshoot of pastoral generation. What am I saying? Do they trust God for supernatural help? Yes. Do they believe God's supernatural help? Yes. Would they receive spiritual help? Yes. But the fundamental things. So the question now becomes, how does God meet the needs of people? Are we here? How does God meet the needs of people? He meets the needs of people when people who are believers fundamentally abound to the riches of what? Liberality. So there are people who are still suffering today or cannot afford certain things today because you've turned down the voice of the Spirit to supply help to them. Are you here? There are people who have lost their lives today because you turned down the voice of the Spirit. You knew. A friend was asking me, can God tell you an amount to give to somebody? What's the answer? Why not? The problem is, some of us, we hear God clearly, we see it clearly, all the evidences are there, but we reduce it. No, God loves me now. God knows I'm a family man. Yeah? So, how will churches have their needs met fundamentally? Churches will have their needs met when believers abound. Altogether, when believers... I'll give you an example. There was a day I was just praying, and I just finished praying. I was about to go and sleep. Right? The Spirit of God just, told me to give a particular man, a pastor, is a missionary, right? A particular amount. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are we here?
Yes, sir.
And I was about to sleep. I went to Facebook. I looked for his name. I messaged him, and I said, please send your account details. Do you know that... I didn't tell him what I was going to send. He didn't tell me what I should send. The amount I sent to him was all that his doctor was waiting for to continue treatment on his daughter. Are we here? Do you know that amount, I can tell you for free that amount, I could have kept that amount to give 5 people and to be sufficient for 5 people. But I gave it to one man because I heard God's voice say, give it to that man. Yeah? And what happens? Eventually, the daughter is rescued because I hearkened to God's voice. You know, if I had given, listen to what I'm about to show to you now. Is it possible I divided that money into 4 or 3 and gave him 1/3 or 1/4? Will he be grateful I gave him? Have I given? Have I given? Have I given? Have I given according to instruction? Have I given? I've given now, but I've not given according to what I heard. So if let's assume there's a reward. What is the reward for? Partial obedience or total obedience? I hope you know, partial obedience is total disobedience. Are you here? Partial obedience is disobedience. So if you are not going to give that exact amount you were supposed to give, why don't you just put your hand in your pocket? Let us just know you are disobedient. Are we together? Are we together? So that must be the approach and the mindset you have. You will start up one day and somebody will say, this is a need. Somebody did that. I've had scenarios like that. I can keep giving stories. And they'll say, Pastor, you don't know what you did to me. Pastor, this amount you sent to me, even though I didn't ask you or tell you what I was going through, this was all I needed to take me to the hospital. I had several situations like that. Listen, the same way I gave an example earlier today, my dad had a situation like that. Is that correct? Went to school, needed an amount, and somebody was led to give that amount. Let me ask you a question. If that person had divided that money into 3, will my dad be happy? Yes, I'll be happy now because he doesn't know what that person has to do with God. But what will happen to my dad? He will keep trusting God for the rest. Maybe what happened, he will give the half deposit to the school and say, I will pay before the end of the year. When you have certain structure, don't be reducing. Listen to what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, if you don't learn the fundamental things, if you are still fighting with 10% as you're giving, you are in the wrong goal. You are in the wrong goal. There's no polished way to say it. You are in the wrong goal. If you cannot tackle the one that is expressing, this man does not teach 10%. In what day and world does less giving make better sense? Listen, in what day and world, imagine your wife or your husband gives you a gift this year, right? And they give you a gift of £1,000 this year as your birthday gift. And next year, their salary you know doubled, and they give you £500, you'll be happier. After the God sees his heart. After God sees that journey, you, even your logical mind, you analyze it. Ah, wait, Abby, does this man have side chick now? Because I'm just wondering why he split this money. I know your salary then and now. You give up. You see, that's how life is. So let's assume you say the Bible does not teach tithes. Tithe is the Hebrew word oath. You see, when the Bible says to Malachi, he says to the priest, he was talking to the priest, devour out the priest. Yeah? You know that the Bible, from the teachings of Jesus to Paul, right, teaches even more than 10%. Because 10% is actually a cage. Right? But what does Paul teach? You give liberally. What is liberally? If you give liberally, and I say give 10%, I don't expect two of you to give the same if you are earning the same. Are you here? I can't say give, two of you are earning the same amount of money, and I say give 10%, and I say give liberally. And you give 10%, and what you give is less than 10%, and I call that liberal. It can't be now. Is that liberal? No, it can't be. Because what can make him give 10% under bondage? Do you understand? It was over a decade ago I stopped giving. What 10%? I feel insulting to God. 10%. My income comes, I say 10%, and I'll be calculated. 10%. I feel it's an insult. Over a decade ago, I can keep giving you stories upon stories upon stories. So we all earn. We bring to the local church. We bring to support ourselves. We bring to support our needs. In fact, yeah, it's still on record in church, God's palace, both Nigeria, both UK. Since I started being privileged to pastor, there is nobody who has outgiven me as a pastor. Not one person in this local church. Not one. I'm not the highest earner. But not one. Let him minister to you. Are we here? I'm showing you the example to follow. Not one. There's no record of one person. That does not mean now you say, I want pastor to just have that award. Let him just keep having his award. Since he's already the winner. No. That's not what I'm saying. Nobody to compete. No competition. No competition. Yeah? That's not what I'm teaching here. I'm trying to say, there are days that you need to just yield more to God's word. Don't be a disobedient believer. Don't be a disobedient believer. I talk with the leaders. We have meetings, for instance. We want to buy something. The first thing I do is first drop half of the money. First half. And maybe 10 of them will contribute everything, the rest. If we're the money that is supposed to contribute and I drop half, can 10 contribute up to half of what I did? If we are to get an equal amount, can they contribute up to half of what I did? So why am I saying these things? I'm showing you an example, though. Eh? I'm not just here shouting. I'm teaching the word and also practicing the word. You to you. Don't allow me to be shouting. See my speech. Everything, my mouth is dry. I've not drank water. Don't let me be shouting so you can do the word. Are we together? Yeah? There is no distraction for me. Okay. We'll sing. No distraction for you. I have come to receive. Why are you always receiving? We need to change all those songs. I have come to give. Everybody have come to be changed. Your life is, every service you are changing. Every life you are saying is changing. Everything you are doing is receiving. What are you giving? What are you sacrificing?